He looked at it and he couldn't believe it. What a beautiful creation is this? And he saw it moving. Then he asked Newton, who made that? Without looking up, John Newton said, nobody. And he said, what do you mean nobody? Who created this? And Newton said, nobody. He got mad. He said, you must be thinking I'm a fool. Of course somebody made it. And the person who made it got to be a genius. And I'd like to know who made this, who created this. Newton, he rose up. He put his hand on the friend's shoulder and he said, look at this little toy. And this little toy is a beautiful design, isn't it? And it has a maker, a creator. And you profess, and this little toy, what you see, is the miniature of the universe. And if this little toy has a creator, a maker, a designer, what about the universe? And it has the universe. It's much more splendor. It's much more in majesty. Much more grander. As a creator. And what kind of reasoning do you have? Amazing. John Newton, Isaac Newton was a Christian. He was a Christian who believed in the living God. He worshipped the living God. You know, those days, most of the scientists, those days, you go on to say they were all Christians. Kepler was a Christian. See, some other visible evidences. But one thing we need to know is when the prophets in the Bible, when they spoke, okay, they didn't use, somebody might, how can they use village language or, you know, those old type of language. Of course, they were not scientists to use modern day languages. They used their own language at that time. That's the way they saw it. So they spoke their own languages. You know, the Bible says that the stars cannot be counted. A lot of people, scientists, they counted the stars. And Ptolemy counted the stars and he said there are 1,056 stars in the universe. Then Brahe counted and he said there are only 777. Then Kepler, he counted and he got 1,005 stars. But you can remember God told Abraham, told him to go outside, look at the stars and count if you can. And Jeremiah chapter 33 verse 32 says, the stars cannot be numbered. Jeremiah 33:32. So now the scientists say, it cannot be numbered. Only if they read the Bible. Jeremiah 33:32. Wait a minute. 33:22. I'm sorry. 33:22. And the host of heaven cannot be numbered, nor the sand of the sea measured. So I will multiply the descendants of David, my servants, and the Levites who minister to me. But you know what? Nobody can number the stars, right? But God can number the stars. Not only God numbers the stars, for each star he has a name. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 147, verse 4. 147, 4. He counts the number of the stars. He calls them all by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. Our finite mind cannot count the number of the stars. God created the stars. He knows how many stars are there, how many sands of the seashore is there. He knows them by name. Amazing. And people thought before the earth was flat. Everybody thought that the earth was flat. You know, until Columbus came, they realized that earth was round. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verse 22, Isaiah 40:21, have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is He who sits above the circle of the earth. So earth is what? It's a circle. It's a round. It's round shape. And its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, whose stretches of the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell. And here we see the earth is a circle, is round in shape. But Isaiah lived 800 years before Christ. But still, people didn't know. They thought it was flat. They only read the Bible. And also, the Bible says the earth is suspended in space. You know, there are two basic scientific principles here. Only later, about 350 years later ago, we knew that the earth was suspended. But 3,000 years ago, Job said, the earth is held in a place. It was suspended. It was just, you know, it was placed in an empty space, empty place. It hangs, just hangs there. Job chapter 26, verse 7. People couldn't believe that because, you know, they were looking for their own finite wisdom. Couldn't find it. So Job chapter 26, verse 7. Creatures of the north over empty space, he hangs the earth on nothing. So it's not Hercules who is holding the earth. Okay? There's no big guy holding the earth. No. Suspense on nothing, on empty space. It doesn't fall. It doesn't fall. So God inspired through His word 3,000 years ago that the earth is held in a place by gravitational forces. How about the hydrologic cycle? What is hydrologic means? Hydrology has to do with what? Water. So when you say hydrologic cycle, talking about what? The cycle of water. Hey, look. It rains, gives us water. Then there are little streams, turns into rivers, and goes into the sea. Right? Now, if all the water is collected to a big, if we think that the sea is a big tank, it should overflow. But the water is not overflowing. Still, if there's no rain, if there's a huge drought, it should dry up. But the sea has always water. Amazing. And we're going to see that. That's amazing. Job 26 verse 8 says the next scripture. He binds up the water in his thick clouds, yet the clouds are not broken under it. And also Job chapter 36 verse 27. 6:27 says, for he draws up drops of water which distills as rain from the mist, which the clouds drop down and pour abundantly on man. Let's go to Job chapter 37 verse 16. 37:16. And it says here, do you know how the clouds are balanced? Those wondrous works of Him who is perfect in knowledge. Then go to Psalm chapter 135 verse 7. Psalm 135 verse 7. the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain and brings the wind out of his treasuries. Now, go to Ecclesiastes 1, chapter 1, verse 6. Ecclesiastes 1, 6 to 7. The wind goes toward the south and turns around the north. The wind whirls about continually and comes again on its circuit. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. To the place from which the rivers come, there they return again. Hey, look at the cycle. It goes to the sea and becomes into vapor, you know, then it rains, then it back against the streams, rivers, and it goes back into the sea. So it's a hydrological cycle. What about the ocean currents? Ocean currents. Turn to Psalm chapter 8, verse 8. The Bible talks about ocean currents. Okay. Psalm chapter 8, verse 8. 8:8 says, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea that passes through, where? The paths of the sea. You know, Psalmist, when he wrote that, he didn't know what an ocean current is. That's the language he used. So here we see the paths of the sea. Well, there was a man, his name was Matthew Fontaine Maury. And he saw this scripture. He was a scientist. He saw the paths of the seas caused this man, Matthew Fontaine Maury, to begin search which led to the discovery of ocean currents. He saw this scripture, then he studied and he found it is, he investigated on this, what the Bible says, and that's where we find today that there are ocean currents. Because the Bible said it, this guy believed it, and he found it. There are natural paths in the sea, created by God. So, this guy, Maury, he concluded that if God's books said they were there, they've got to be there. And he was right. As I said before, we saw in the book of Ecclesiastes, the sea is always full, right? Where is the water coming from? It's always full.